You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. The Boy Scouts of America will be allowed to keep operating after filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week. The organization made the move as it deals with potentially hundreds of sexual abuse allegations from over the past several decades. Boy Scouts President and Chief Executive Roger Mosby put out a statement shortly after the filing. He said, quote, "The BSA cares deeply about all victims of abuse and sincerely apologizes to anyone who was harmed during their time in scouting," end quote. Chapter 11 allows the Scouts to reorganize their finances and create a trust fund to pay victims seeking compensation. The declaration also raises questions about what might happen to local Boy Scout councils, including the 10 here in Wisconsin. Samantha Schmidt covers gender and family issues for The Washington Post. She wrote about this issue. Samantha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think sometimes people hear the word bankruptcy and think that means it's all over. That's not the case here, right, for Boy Scouts of America. What does this Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing mean?
Right. This is just the beginning for the Boy Scouts in this ongoing saga and scandal over years, generations of child abuse allegations. And it really is seen as a solution to this onslaught of lawsuits because it allows them, as you said, to keep operating normally and while also finding a way to pay all of the claims that they are expecting. And so it creates they're planning on creating a trust, a victim compensation trust that will serve as the pot of money from which to pay all of these victims of all these cases. And so far, there's been over 200 that have been filed, lawsuits that have been filed, and they're expecting more than 1,000 potentially of claims coming forward. And importantly, it also sets a deadline by which those claims must be entered, because after that, it cuts off all of the possible claims and gives them a chance to take stock of what they have and figure out how to pay all of them.
Now, I understand from your reporting, part of the question of why this is happening now has to do with states overhauling their statute of limitations laws, in part because of accusations about Boy Scouts, the Catholic Church, and other organizations. Can you talk about what kind of impact that could have?
Yeah, we're already seeing that impact both in different Catholic dioceses and the Boy Scouts. There's states such as New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., they have made it possible for people to come forward with allegations from many years ago that previously weren't viable as lawsuits. But now they have this window of time during which they can actually file lawsuits based on allegations from back in the 70s. And that has really been what has opened the door to all of these lawsuits against the Boy Scouts. And it, you know, it has been anticipated since December of 2018 that this wave of lawsuits would lead the Boy Scouts to potentially declare bankruptcy, because it's a solution that many Catholic dioceses, for example, have taken on to try to respond to these lawsuits. The USA Gymnastics also took this route as a way to handle various lawsuits against Larry Nassar. And it's seen as a convenient solution, because it, again, sets that deadline and allows it to keep operating, whereas, you know, some of these lawsuits could be completely crippling for organizations.
You were starting to touch on this, Samantha, but let's dig a little more into it. What will this mean for victims who are seeking compensation? What, based on what we know about this bankruptcy filing, would this mean for them in particular?
Right. It's hard to tell at this point what this will mean, because it's so early on, and they're expecting this to be a really long and complicated process. But what we do know is that, first of all, it means that they have to come forward now. And we don't know what that deadline is yet, but pretty soon we'll find out what that bar date will be. And that means that, you know, victims will have only months potentially to come forward with claims. And after that, they lose their chance. They lose their voice, which for many lawyers that I've talked to is a possible problem, because not some victims might not be ready to come forward. This forces them to come public now with their claims. And then after that, it will be a more potentially equitable process of paying them all off, because they're going to kind of divvy up the money from this trust. But it's, you know, in one way, it is seen as a way to kind of create a collective voice on behalf of all victims. But it does mean that for some people, they don't have that moment in front of a jury of peers in court to have their allegations heard and have their case heard. So for some people, that is a downside of this, but not everyone wants to see a case make it into a trial. And not everyone, you know, will end up that way anyway, because so many cases are ultimately settled. So it's hard to tell exactly what this will mean, but it, in the short term, it means they have to come forward now.
Talking to Samantha Schmidt from the Washington Post, we're looking at the Boy Scouts of America filing for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, in large part due to widespread allegations of sexual abuse in the organization, spanning decades, really. Samantha, most people don't directly interact with the National Boy Scouts of America organization. They interact with one of the many local councils. Can you tell us how that all fits together and what that means in this bankruptcy filing?
I think that's one of the most interesting questions that this entire process will raise, because the Boy Scouts of America is it's not very transparent about how it's set up. And, you know, even talking to lawyers who've been studying them for years and years, it's hard to know where their assets are. And what we do know is that the majority of their assets are at these local councils and not at the national level. They're entirely legally independent. And the Boy Scouts made clear last week when they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy that only the national organization is filing for bankruptcy, and none of the local councils will be directly impacted by the bankruptcy filing. Those assets will be separate. However, talking to lawyers of some of these victims, they're skeptical that these local councils will be completely shielded from any liabilities, in large part because a lot of these lawsuits that have come forward so far do name some of those local councils, and even in some cases name the troops and the sponsoring organizations. So if you have a kid in Scouts, you know that it's usually, you know, they're meeting in churches or schools or firehouses. And those organizations are in some cases listed in lawsuits as well. And so for that reason, some lawyers are expecting this to be one of the most complicated bankruptcy proceedings in American history, at least when it comes to child abuse, because it has so many different people involved at many different levels. And because so many of these local councils are implicated in the lawsuits, it's hard to say whether they'll be able to completely be you know, immune from any impact. I think that already at the local level, some Scout leaders are feeling worried that they might be involved in this in some way, and they might have to, you know, contribute. And the Boy Scouts did say that they will have the opportunity to contribute to the Victim Compensation Trust. They just didn't say whether that will be required in any cases.
Now, here's one example of a local troop's response here. This is as reported by WXOW-TV. Joe Carlson, Scout Executive of the Gateway Area Council in La Crosse, said in a statement, quote, "Gateway Area Council has not filed for bankruptcy. Meetings and activities, district and council events, other scouting adventures, and countless service projects are taking place as usual. In short, there should be no change to the local scouting experience," end quote. So locals are trying, it sounds like, Samantha, to keep going with business as usual, even amidst this high-profile national bankruptcy filing.
Yeah, definitely. But I will say, having been talking to parents and scouts for months now in anticipation of this bankruptcy filing, it is in some cases really shaking people up. Over the summer and early in the fall, when there was that back to school recruitment push that always happens when you go to the back to school nights, I talked to some parents and some scout leaders here in the DC, Maryland area who were a little worried that this would affect recruitment for their troops. Because not only because of the different allegations and lawsuits that have come forward, but it's just there's been a real decline in the Scouts in recent years. It's, in the last decade, there was a 26% decline in youth membership at the national level. So, I mean, I think this is shaking people up, and it's making people worried about the future of the organization, whether or not the local councils are financially impacted.
Do we know what the Scouts are doing at the national level or even at the local level to try to turn those numbers back around amidst this high-profile controversy?
Yes, actually, a very interesting and in some cases controversial move was last year they started allowing girls to join the organization, at least the namesake organization. organization program, the Boy Scouts, as we all know, they have started allowing girls to join. And for the first time, girls will be able to start working towards an Eagle Scout rank, which is really significant. But that is, by some people seen, and particularly by the Girl Scouts, is seen as a move to sort of poach girls from other programs and to try to survive by, you know, recruiting members they didn't have before. But, you know, the Boy Scouts, when you ask them, they say that this makes a lot of sense and that girls have been, you know, participating in scouting alongside their brothers and fathers for years and years, and that this, you know, gives them a chance to work towards that same, you know, Eagle Scout rank. And there's actually been a lot of success, in particular here in the D.C. area. Hundreds and thousands of girls have joined the Boy Scouts since then. So that's seen as a possible way to help boost those numbers.
As you mentioned right off the bat, Samantha, this bankruptcy filing is not the end of the story. It's a key waypoint in a story that's far from over. What kind of details now are you watching for in the months to come?
I am really interested in seeing how the local councils will be affected. I'm hoping to see kind of how that shapes up and whether it keeps people from joining in some cases. I'm interested in seeing when that deadline will be for the claims from victims and whether, you know, they will be compensated and in a, you know, just an equitable way. I think I'm interested in seeing just how long this plays out and whether this actually changes the image of the Boy Scouts long term, because it really is still such an iconic organization, and even still people are so connected to it. And I constantly am in hearing from people who say that they're Eagle Scouts, lifelong Eagle Scouts, their kids are in it, their grandparents were in it. It's such a symbol of Americana, really. And I wonder if that's going to be the case long term if, you know, these lawsuits continue and this bankruptcy ends up really impeding on them in some way.
Samantha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Samantha Schmidt covers gender and family issues for The Washington Post. We talked to her today about the Boy Scouts of America filing for bankruptcy protection amid sexual abuse allegations. The move allows the Scouts to continue operating as it reorganizes its finances and creates a trust fund to compensate victims.